If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Braves and baseball fans, it's time to take a trip from coast to coast across Major League Baseball.
There it goes, a long drive. If it stays fair, home run.
One strike away. Sandy into his windup. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed, a perfect game.
Fly ball deep left center. Grissom on the run. Yes! 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 Championship. Listen to this crowd.
Left side, Swanson to first. Braves, world champions.
Braves and baseball talk, straight from the diamond.
Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today. And Window Nation. Call the pros at Window Nation at 866-90-NATION.
Here's Grant McCauley.
Hello and welcome to From the Diamond here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Live from the Kia Studios on a Sunday morning, a hangover-type Sunday morning, maybe what it feels like for the Braves to, I don't know, maybe feeling kind of a perpetual hangover from the start of their season, from that trip out west, from not being home for nearly 2 months, whatever it is, whatever you want to point at. And I don't think that they're certainly looking at what has happened over the first 9 games of the year and feeling like it is the start they want to get off on. And that may be the understatement of the show when we are about 30 seconds in, but we are going to try to unpack the many factors that are at play as the Braves have stumbled out of the gates. In fact, it feels like they've fallen flat on their face with the trip out west going 0-7, coming home, seeming to get right against the Marlins, only to revert back to an offense that was unable to solve a pitching staff that is not among the best in baseball. And I think that's the differentiator here. You look at what happened in San Diego, you look at what happened in Los Angeles. You can look at those rosters and look at those teams and say, okay, it's going to be some pretty tough sledding. But the Miami Marlins, I do think, are a club that here in the early going, as they are currently, 5-4, have figured out a way to win a few ball games. They beat up on the Pirates to get started with, but then they gave the Mets a pretty good run, and now they've come in and have a chance, depending on what the weather is on Sunday, to take a series from the Atlanta Braves behind Sandy Alcantara. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves, though. We have to kind of, I think, look back at one of the more frustrating weeks of Braves baseball in recent memory, and that's saying a lot considering what we went through last year and some of the playoff exits certainly feel differently. That kind of stuff is, I think, in its own category. But in terms of regular season, could it go wrong? Will it go wrong? It has gone wrong. The first week or so for the Braves thus far has been that. The bullpen has been shaky, but I would probably put that down further on the list of things to really be concerned about. Losing Jerks and Profar to a performance-enhancing drug suspension, you can put that near the top of the list. And potentially losing Reynaldo Lopez for the entire season to a shoulder injury, you can put that up pretty high on that list. But the 0-7 start, the way that it happened, the inability of the offense to be able to string things together to come up with a big hit, stop me if you've heard this before, but it just feels like the storylines of the 2024 Braves have followed them into 2025, and I don't think anybody, the Braves included, wanted to see anything like that. I think they were hoping to have a little bit more good fortune on their side at the very least, and I think a lot of this will come down to controlling the controllables in some ways. And what do I mean by that? Well, you're not going to be able to turn the season around and one at bat. One inning, one game, whatever the case may be. I mean, one game can help if you start winning them and stack them up. Yes, obviously that can be a little bit different. But I feel like from a mindset perspective, that's where the Braves are really going to have to dig in and, as they say, do the work. Because I don't think it's a physical thing with this group. I've been talking about this on 92.9 The Game for the last, 10 or so days. I joined my buddies on Foul Territory TV this week and tried to make sense of what was going on with the Braves. And I said something there that I felt like, oh, you know what? I need to dive into that on the show. And for those who maybe didn't catch that or didn't follow me on social media, which you can on most platforms, at Grant McCauley, what exactly could turn it around? What could help them turn it around? From a mindset perspective, I really feel like the minimalist approach is what I'm calling it. The small little things that add up in a baseball game or in a given day, no matter what you're doing, really. And I'm a big believer in mindset. But obviously, there's a physical aspect of sports that has to happen as well. I mean, you have to be able to perform in those moments. And it just feels like, I don't know that the moments are too big, but there's an aggressiveness. There's a pressing feeling from some of the Braves' best hitters. And I can't blame them because, number one, they're human. And number two, you look at the results, and who wouldn't want to go up there and try to turn things around, whether that's in an inning, in a game, for a season, whatever the case is. And again, stop me if you've heard this before, but this was the story I felt like, at least part of it, for the 2024 Braves. Yes, injuries, that's one thing. Let's put that over here to the side. We can all agree that that was about as far from ideal as it could possibly be. But now they're kind of back in that boat from an offensive standpoint where, yes, they don't have Ronald Acuna Jr. back, and we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. That will help, I believe. How could it not? He's one of the best players in baseball. But the Braves have got a lot of things to do to get themselves in position to get him back in there and really start to, I think, assemble their season the way that they wanted to. It's almost like, you know, as a baseball fan, I'll throw this back. And as somebody who just loves nostalgia, grew up in the 80s, the 90s, where I feel like we had the best toys. We had the best stuff. I can't speak for what's going on today. It seems a lot more digital, a lot more devices, whatnot. But imagine you got the absolute coolest Lego set of all time. And it did not come with the instructions. That's what opening day, opening week, the first, nine games of the season feels like for the Atlanta Braves. They've got all the pieces. Well, they had all the pieces. They've lost a couple of them. But they're not able to put it together because they just haven't had the blueprint for that or just haven't been able to find it. I don't know. I don't know how far this analogy can go, but I think you get what I'm saying is nice, shiny new toy, and we're just not able to assemble this thing and really start enjoying it. And that's kind of what it's been like. It's been a false start for the season to the Braves. There's just no two ways about that. And we're going to dive into all of it. We'll talk about the road trip some, and not so much the 0-7 part, which I think we can all agree is about as not ideal as it gets, but the Jerks and Profar suspension. I mean, that's something that the Braves are going to be unpacking and working through here for a while. What kind of player are you going to be getting back on the other side of that? We're going to have to delve into that because I think it's a realistic question to ask. Did the Jerks and Profar that had a career year last year really have a career year? Or did he have a little bit of help that maybe made him look like a better player than he actually is? You look at the back of the baseball card, as the old saying goes, 2024 is unlike any other season that he had. Now, could he have done some things that helped him put together a good year? Sure. At the plate? Yes. Made adjustments? Sure. But now all of that is thrown into question, and I think it's fair to ask how exactly 2024 was put together. Was it ill-gotten gains for Jerks and Profar? And did that then turn into a 3-year contract with the Braves that they're going to be looking at, scratching their heads and wondering, how do we get ourselves into this? And, well, the answer is perhaps false advertising. But again, I don't want to get ahead of myself. The Jerks and Profar story, though, is a very big story and a very big loss for the Braves because they were hoping to have some continuity at the top of the order, somebody to get on base, somebody to help set the tone, somebody to bring in some energy, some vibes, as they say. Those were the boxes Jerks and Profar was supposed to check, and he has pretty much come in and managed to do the exact opposite by A, getting suspended, and B, the fallout from all of that. That doesn't provide the kind of vibes that you want for a season. And that's just one more thing that the Braves will have to put out of sight, out of mind, because Profar is going to be out of sight and out of mind for about 80 games. And then figure out, you know, what it is you can do on the other side of this to put together your outfield. That's just one of the many stories here over the first, week and a half of the season now. But not only are these losses piling up on the field, but the Braves are 1-8 after dropping Saturday's game to the Marlins. They've lost Jerks and Profar in what I can only describe as, and if you know me for a long time, I use this word not too frequently, but enough for it to be one of my signature words. It's been a debacle as far as Profar is concerned. But where does the club go from here in the outfield and at leadoff? We're going to have to get into all of that because Ronald Acuna Jr. spoiler alert, is probably still about a month away from returning. We'll see when that timetable comes into focus, and we'll talk about some of the news, the updates for Ronald this week as we go along. But as if the Pro Far news wasn't enough, the Braves also lost Ronaldo Lopez after just one start due to a shoulder ailment, the extent of which is not known. Ronaldo's going to head out to Los Angeles on Tuesday. He'll go under the knife, I guess, for arthroscopic surgery. So maybe not as much of the knife, but you get where I'm going with this. They're going to have to figure out and assess what exactly is wrong with his shoulder and whether or not he's going to pitch again this year is a big question the Braves are going to be asking come Tuesday. I mean, they're already asking it, but maybe they'll find out their answer. That kind of loss in a rotation that was already waiting on Spencer Strider to get back, which we should have some good stuff to discuss on him at least later on if you're looking for the silver linings of today's show. Spencer Strider certainly could be one of those, but Max Fried leaves, Charlie Morton leaves, Ronaldo Lopez is hurt. That decimates a rotation when you lose those kind of talents. And while you understood coming into spring training that Fried and Morton were no longer part of this equation, you were banking on Chris Sale, on Ronaldo Lopez, and Spencer Schwellenbach to lead this rotation, get Strider back in there, and then you feel pretty good. I mean, I talked about this, what, a week, 2 weeks ago on the show? You feel pretty good about that quartet, and you can figure it out at five, whether that's Grant Holmes or A.J. Smith-Shawver or somebody else. You could figure that out. But without Ronaldo Lopez, it kind of upsets the very delicate balance of what the Braves rotation is and what you need from that rotation. And I know that it doesn't necessarily work this way, but how can it not if you're a fan? The expectations for Spencer Strider probably expanded just a bit when Lopez hit the injured list. And he's been transferred already to the 60-day IL, so you know he's going to be out for a while. This is not a wait and see and hope that you get him back in a month or two. But we'll see exactly how all of that plays out. And I know you've heard this stat. How could you not have? If you've been on social media, if you've listened to a Braves broadcast, if you've listened to pretty much any baseball talk anywhere in the civilized world over the past week, you've heard about the 0-7 stat that the Braves have had slapped on their season like a bumper sticker you just don't want. No team in baseball history has started 0-7 and made the postseason. Now, I'm going to throw a caveat out there, thanks to my buddy C.J. Nitkowski, who was on the show last week. And if you missed that, you can find From the Diamond wherever you get your podcast. Check out that archive. You can also hear it on the Odyssey app. But C.J. did some digging, or somebody did some digging for him. I don't know. But he shared it anyway, so I'm going to give him the credit for it. Plenty of teams have made the playoffs having a seven-game losing streak at some point in their season, which to me, as a baseball person, as somebody who's into sample sizes and context, all right, I can get behind that. 85 different times a club has made the postseason after having a losing streak of seven or more games at some point during their season. That makes you feel a little bit better. The 0-7 start, though, that points to, I think, clubs that, and you can look at the teams that the Braves have had in their history that have started off 0-6 or worse, none of them had playoff aspirations that I can remember. Whether you're talking about 2016 or certainly 1988, where they went 0-10 to start the season, 1980, which that's when I checked into the world, so I didn't get to watch that season particularly close. So, you know, it's just one of those things where they're going to have to figure it out. They've got some time to do so, but time is of the essence to stop digging that hole deeper and deeper and deeper. Coming up on the show, we'll dive into this week in Braves baseball. I'll be joined by Scott Coleman of Hammer Territory a little bit later to cover it all, and we'll take a deeper look at the Miami Marlins, a team in a perpetual rebuild, and Craig Mish will help us get up to speed on what to expect from that division rival as we go along here on From the Diamond. Up next, this week in Braves baseball, I'm Grant McCauley. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now, more From the Diamond with Graham McCauley. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate. 855-299-SOLD on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in to From the Diamond on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I am Graham McCauley. These are the Kia Studios, and this is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we continue along on From the Diamond with this week in Braves baseball. And I wish it was a week that was filled with much more fun topics to talk about, because all of that, the rites of spring where hope springs eternal, didn't last very long in the 2025 regular season, unfortunately for the Braves, who find themselves heading into Sunday's finale with the Miami Marlins on a 1-8 record, thanks in large part to what they're not doing at the plate. We can pick apart some of the other things, and trust me, we certainly will, and some of the reasons why maybe things aren't working for the lineup, and some other areas that need improvement for the Braves that maybe haven't been able to do what they've wanted to do or need to do, as the case may be. But I think it all starts with the offense. You outscore the other guys, you win baseball games. You have trouble scoring, it's going to be difficult to win baseball games. And to say that the Braves are having trouble scoring is probably the understatement of the season thus far. This is a club batting 193 as a collective through nine games. Slugging under 300. They're also on-basing under 300, so I guess both of those are correct. An OPS overall for the team of 577. I mean, you're getting into the level where I think you used to call that good-hitting pitcher would bat somewhere around 200, maybe on base somewhere just under 300, and slug every once in a while a few homers, and maybe they would be able to handle the bat well. You can't have a lineup full of that, though, and the Braves are pretty much looking at that, because outside of Marcelo Ozuna and perhaps Matt Olson, the two guys that I think have shown the most in the early going, and certainly as far as, you know, batted ball profiles, are the two guys swinging the bat the best, with the third man on the list, despite the fact he's batting 154, catcher Drake Baldwin has also, I think, been impressive with his approach at the plate. But how much longer will he be part of the equation is a question that we're going to have to ask, because Sean Murphy is nearing a return from AAA Gwinnett in his rehab assignment. So we'll stick a pin in that discussion. But the offense overall, outside of their 10 runs that they scored on Friday night, and we call this cherry picking, but follow me. In the other eight games of the season, the Braves have scored 14 runs total. That is 1.75 runs per game that the Braves have scored over the course of those other eight games. And of course, you might gather from that all of those losses. That 10-0 win on Friday does feel like a bit of an outlier thus far this season. There's no two ways about that. Can the Braves find a way to tap into that kind of run scoring? Doesn't have to be 10 runs, but manufacturing some runs would certainly go a long way. And it just feels like, again, that pressing has been part of the issue. And I think Ozzie Albies is somebody that typically gets pointed to in these situations where early in the count, ultra aggressive, jumping on pitches and not making a productive out or just not being able to come through in those moments. And even when things are starting to maybe spiral and get out of control a little bit for the pitcher, you let these guys off the hook when you jump up there hunting early in the count and trying to force something to happen. That feels like just part of the equation here. And look, it's a hard game. I think, was it Ted Williams that said, the hardest thing to do in sports is to hit a round ball with a round bat squarely. And that has certainly rung true for the Braves this year. But you look up and down this lineup, I mean, there's just not a lot to write home about here. You don't know in the leadoff spot. I guess Michael Harris is going to be getting that shot. He's been swinging the bat better lately. Let's throw him into the mix as far as guys who are showing some signs of life. Harris has moved to the leadoff spot, had a three-hit night on Friday, banged out another double on Saturday. He's 8 for 33, though, hitting .242. That is almost a high-water mark, though, for this club. You got Marcell Ozuna batting .240, but he's walked 13 times. That leads all of baseball. Matt Olson's batting .233, but then Austin Riley, .143. Jared Kelnick, .154. Drake Baldwin, .154. Ozzie Albies, .194. Jurickson Profar, before he got suspended, although he just played in four games, was only hitting .200. And Orlando Arcia has been supplanted at shortstop, at least here in the early going, by Nick Allen, who's had a handful of hits and puts up a good professional at bat, but, you know, he's not been brought in for the offense. And the Braves need to find the offense from the guys that you're expecting it to come from. That's Olson, that's Albies, that's Riley, that's Ozuna, that's Harris. Those are the guys who are going to have to do some heavy lifting right now. And I'll talk to Scott Coleman of Hammer Territory in a little bit about all of that, because it feels like the Braves outfield, obviously, with no Acuna yet and with Profar now out of the mix, is going to be a group that I don't know that outside of Harris you're really going to be able to count on altogether that much. So it went very quickly from a group that, when you talked to Ronald back in spring training, when it was going to be him and Harris and Profar could be among the best in baseball, to a group that you're just trying to piece together right now until you can get Ronald Acuna Jr. back. But Atlanta got home after nearly 2 months on the road. They went to spring training, obviously, then went out to Arizona, played a couple of Cactus League games, and then it was San Diego and L.A. And I think the Braves needed to get back home. And all of the guys that I talked to on Friday before this Marlins series began, they felt energized. And that obviously didn't show through on Saturday, but the club needs some energy. And where they're going to get that from, who's going to provide that spark, especially offensively, I think that's fair to question right now. But when you get into the Jurickson Profar of it all, that PED suspension for HCG, which is a fertility drug, if you do the same thing I did and start Googling and figuring out, all right, well, why would he have tested positive for that? It's also used as a masking agent, which restarts the production of testosterone naturally in the body after you've used something, typically after steroids, to basically get things kick-started again. Either way, whatever the case is for this, there's no silver lining here. Profar is their one big get of the winter. He's out half the year. He's also ineligible for the postseason, though right now when you're sitting at 1-8 coming out of the gates to start the season, October's a long ways away. And I don't know that we need to spend a whole lot of time on that on the show just yet. But you're not going to have them available to you at a time when, obviously, you want everybody you can possibly have. So the question becomes, where do the Braves turn in this outfield? Jared Kelnick and Brian De La Cruz are already up. They're going to get first crack at it. We knew that they were going to share some playing time with Acuna out and going on a rehab assignment, hopefully in the next week, maybe 10 days, maybe sooner. I don't know. I mean, we don't have the full timeline for Ronald yet, but he seems to be trending in the right direction. But beyond that, Alex Verdugo debuted for Gwinnett over the weekend as well. And maybe he'll factor into this, but Verdugo, a talented outfielder, I think, coming off a down year in 2024, though, but a fiery competitor, maybe that will provide a little bit of spark here, but he just now debuted at AAA over the weekend. How soon could he be here? How many at-bats does he need to get up to speed? Because I think we know at this point, if you miss spring training, you're kind of behind the eight ball, and you don't want to be playing catch-up on the job at the big league level. Not too many guys succeed at doing that. But Verdugo could factor into this thing as well. And we'll see. But you can't discuss the outfield without bringing up Ronald Acuna Jr., who is going to be flying out to Los Angeles. He's going to talk with doctors soon and kind of get the final sign-off on really being able to ramp up his running. And what does that mean? Yes, he's been running. He's been working out. He's been hitting. He's been doing some work in the outfield, though not full bore yet. He needed to be cleared to be able to cut, change directions quickly, and do all the things that a high-performance athlete, great base runner, and a major league outfielder is going to need to be able to do. and feel really confident about that. So hopefully that's just getting that signed off on and getting him into some games, because it's going to take Ronald a little while to get up to speed as well, because the Braves did make that decision. They were not going to push him in spring training. They wanted to make absolute certain that when he got back on the field and started playing games, that he was completely and totally as ready as you can be for that. And hopefully that's going to be happening very soon. Could he be back in early, maybe mid-May? I think that seems logical if he's able to get that three-week rehab assignment under his belt. And, you know, I don't think they're going to change the timeline whatsoever for him based on the start for the team. I think that'd be irresponsible to do that. The only way that I would imagine Ronald Acuña Jr. gets back maybe a little bit earlier than that timetable I mentioned, again, first week, maybe second week of May, would be if he just simply checks all the boxes. He's absolutely raking and feels good, and he's gotten an ample amount of at-bats for you to feel confident about making that decision. That's on the table. But we're still about a month away from being able to really, I think, factor Ronald Acuña Jr. into this equation. The Braves' bats were busy on Friday, then they got back into that grind on Saturday. And signs of life from Michael Harris, I think, were encouraging, as I talked about that. In that three-hit game for him against the Marlins, he was robbed of a fourth hit in that one as well. You needed to see Michael doing a little something there. He drew his first walk of the season on Saturday, also had a double, so 1-for-3 there. But not a lot was going on for him on the road trip. He had a two-hit game against the Dodgers. He homered against the Dodgers back on the 31st of March, but the offense for their center fielder and leadoff hitter right now would go a long way towards sparking this lineup, setting the table. Michael Harris, I think, is capable of doing that. He was caught stealing on Saturday, but I think maybe you see what you can do up there with that if you need to get something kickstarted. Harris is one of the few guys on the team where I would sign off on saying, yeah, maybe give him a perpetual green light and see if he can pick the right spots, steal some bases. I think it's him, it's Albies, to a lesser extent, maybe Jared Kelnick. Eli White's probably the fastest guy on the team, but I don't know that he's going to be, you know, stealing a lot of playing time, getting a lot of starts, and having the opportunity to do it. But if it's late and close and you need a base stolen, at least you got a guy that can do that as well. And maybe you're just going to have to get creative when you're in the midst of a slump. And you know, the Braves are a team that has built a slug, and they have been in the past. I mean, ideally speaking, if you look at the blueprint, built to get on base and built to slug. But the getting on base part's not happening as much as it needs to, and certainly the slug part is not happening as much as it needs to either, because you look at, you know, some of these games where I think the Braves had in their first, what was it, seven games of the season, six hits with runners in scoring position. And then on Friday, when they won 10-0 against the Marlins, they proceeded to have seven hits with runners in scoring position, only to come back and put up a goose egg on Saturday, getting shut out by Cal Quantrill and the Marlins bullpen, which, again, is not among the toughest pitching staffs in baseball. So, you know, trying to make sense of this, I think you just kind of drive yourself crazy, because ultimately I think it comes down to relaxing, trusting who you are, trusting the work, and doing all the cliche things that baseball players will tell you all the time. But I'm just going to point it out. That stuff does matter. You cannot force things to happen, no matter how badly you want to. And I think that that's at least part of this equation for why the Braves are having such a hard time scoring runs right now. But the big bats are going to have to start doing that work. Matt Olson, I think, is swinging the bat very well. But then there's Austin Riley, who this past week, I mean, I read the quotes, I think it was Wednesday's game, about as dejected as I feel like I've ever heard Austin Riley from an individual, you know, perspective in terms of his performance alone. Yep, sure, you're disappointed when you know, lose playoff series and that kind of thing, sure. But, I mean, we're talking about the first week of April. So to hear somebody that down about it and taking responsibility as much as you can for it, you know, that you realize there's self-awareness, but it doesn't necessarily change the results. That's just going to happen with work. It's going to happen with reps. And Austin Riley is a much better player overall. I don't know if you need me to tell you this, but I'll tell you this anyway, than he has shown over the first week and a half of this season. He's been streaky, no doubt. But this is a guy that, when hot, can carry the team for a month. And the Braves need somebody to get hot and help carry this team for a month. And that somebody should probably end up eventually being someone other than Marcell Ozuna, who it feels like has been doing it for the better part of a year or more with the numbers that he has put up. But it's not just Austin Riley here. I mean, Ozzie Albies, Matt Olson, Michael Harris. If you get Sean Murphy back in this mix, that could help out as well. I mean, there are a lot of bats you can point to, and obviously Marcell Ozuna right there in the middle of all of it, that could give this lineup some serious punch, but it's just not happening right now. And I don't know that there's an easy way to fix it, and it's certainly not fire the hitting coach, fire the manager, fire the GM, rebuild the team. But that seems to be, just based on social media, which is what it is, an echo chamber of frustrated fans who can look at that record and have every right to be frustrated about it. But the clear path to fixing it all, it's not blowing up the team and starting over. Though it might feel like that at times. This is not a case of, I fell behind in this game, I'm going to turn off the system, turn it back on, and start a new game. If it's that easy, I can promise you, nobody recognizes it more than the Braves. They'd love to be able to hit that reset button and go back to late March and start this whole thing over again, but it just doesn't work that way. And they're going to have to get outside of that. I mentioned that Nick Allen was getting some run at shortstop with Orlando Arcia taking a seat quite a bit lately. But he's not exactly an offensive force, but he can play a pretty good shortstop. He's a good base runner. And you can look at the at-bats that he puts up, and typically he's going to grind them out. But you saw, I think, on Saturday, and this is certainly not to pick on Nick Allen because he's not the feature bat in this lineup, opportunities with runners on base for him. And that's not the guy that you want up there in those spots. But the Braves have got to sort some things out, most certainly. And shortstop is one place where I think opportunity is there, and why wouldn't it be? Allen has gotten, what, 5 games, 19 at-bats for him. You look at Orlando Arcia, 4 games, 13 at-bats for him, a couple of singles and 5 punch-outs for Orlando, who, defensively speaking, I think is on par with Allen. I don't know that there's too much of a difference between the two, but you're just not going to get a lot of offense out because that's just not who these guys are. But you need the other guys in the lineup to be doing what they can do so that you can feel okay about your defensive shortstop being a defense-first player. Or you got to go out and address that position. And I think in season, possibly, down the line, not in the first couple of weeks of the year, maybe that's something that the Braves will consider and be able to get done. Meanwhile, Sean Murphy could be back as soon as Tuesday against the Phillies. He was in the Braves clubhouse over the weekend. I saw him on Saturday. He'll catch for Gwinnett on Sunday if the weather permits him to. He'd catch 9 innings. Braves are off on Monday, and then they welcome the Philadelphia Phillies to town on Tuesday. So it's not going to get any easier for the Braves. They desperately need a series win over the weekend if they can get it done against Sandy Alcantara and the Marlins. And then they'll welcome Bryce Harper and the Phillies to town for what is sure to be just the latest test for a team that has been under pressure for the first week and a half of the season. All right, coming up, I'm going to be joined by Scott Coleman of Hammer Territory. We'll talk about the rough start for the Braves, what it's going to take to turn it around, and maybe get into a couple of highlights here and there. Many of them, but we'll try to find them. Scott Coleman joins me next on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre packs starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Find the game.
Back to Graham McCauley for more From the Diamond. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate, 855-299-SOLD. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back into From the Diamond with Grant McCauley here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from the Kia Studios on a Sunday morning as we continue our Braves discussion in what has been a very up and down start to the season, with a lot more down than I think anybody had anticipated for a club that has the kind of aspirations that the Braves do of being a playoff contender. Those are not completely out the window, but if you were on social media for any length of time, or really if you followed the first couple of series of the year, you might have heard that the Braves had dug themselves a hole it was going to be pretty difficult to get out of with their 0-7 start, but nonetheless, they have found their way into the win column and have a gracious plenty amount of games left in the season to do that maybe 90, 95 more times and punch that ticket to October. But putting all of that aside, we're going to parse through what has been a challenging and a very unexpected start to the season with Scott Coleman of Hammer Territory. We got a lot to dive into. Some of it finally is good, but man, this has been quite a start to the Braves season, and I don't think it was a start that anybody really predicted.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Grant. You know, this was as tough of an opening week that you're going to see schedule-wise for the Braves. And you think about not only being down in Florida for 6 weeks for spring training, then they go out to Arizona for a couple of games in the Cactus League, and then play seven games back-to-back against the Padres and the Dodgers, who probably had a claim to being the two best rosters in baseball just a year ago. Far away from home, I'm sure those guys were jonesing to get back to their families in Atlanta. And fingers crossed, that's kind of a sign of things to come for the team moving forward.
Yeah, and there's something to be said about exactly, you know, what you brought up, which was the competition. You have to certainly look at that. That's one factor. The Braves didn't just go out there seven times and beat themselves. Could they have played better? Most definitely. I know you've talked a lot about it. I know I've talked a lot about it. So it was a challenging road trip in a variety of different ways. But having the right team maybe waiting for them when they come home, nothing against the Marlins, but there's a little bit difference, a bit of a difference in that roster and perhaps the Dodgers and Padres that we could get into on another edition of the show. But timing, of course, is everything. The opponent is certainly part of the equation here that you've always got to factor in. But this challenging start, it was by just about every measure because it added up to 0-7 on the road, but the losses obviously felt beyond the box score. So let's unpack the road trip a little bit before we enjoy the homecoming tale, because it did feel a lot like Murphy's Law. The Braves lost seven games. Their offense was listless for much of that trip before finally coming to life over the weekend against Miami. They were counting on Jerks and Profar to produce at the top of the order to start the year. Now we won't see them again until midseason, and all bets are off on what version of Jerks and Profar we're going to see at that point. So, Scott, let me ask you, I mean, what was your read and, I guess, reaction to that situation now that we've had some time to digest the 80-game suspension of Profar?
It's obviously really deflating that you lose a player who was really the one and only big offseason addition for the Braves. So now you're going to lose him half the season. You lose his on base at the top of the lineup. And you said it perfectly, for a player who was coming off a career year at age 30, has been around for a decade, and now he gets popped for PEDs. I think it's only natural to kind of wonder aloud if maybe there was something going on. I know that Profar said that last year he was tested 8 times during his breakout. And obviously players get tested all the time, but just the timing of it all is maybe something that makes you raise an eyebrow. And we'll just kind of have to cross our fingers and hope that when Profar comes back in July, that he's close or at least somewhat a shell of the player he was last year, because clearly the Braves liked him enough to invest $42 million over the next 3 seasons.
Yeah, and hearing from Alex Anthopoulos, I mean, not only did the Braves think a lot of Profar, but, you know, there was a sizable difference between the hitter available at the top of the board for free agents over the winter and Juan Soto, there's only one of those, and a lot of the other guys. But the Braves really liked Profar, and they felt like the changes and the underlying metrics added up to a player that they felt like could replicate that kind of success. And now, as you mentioned, I mean, you do have to wonder and wonder aloud with a lot of these things. I mean, working with Fernando Tatis and his father, as far part of what he was saying, helped him turn things around. Well, obviously, Tatis has his own story with this kind of stuff, so you wonder about that. And then you look at, okay, sure, you had the 8 tests, and obviously you were able to get clear of those 8 tests last year. However, what he got popped for is something that's used, by and large, it seems like, as a masking agent in order to, I think, get around those kinds of tests. So, you know, this is nothing new. This is not the first time that we've seen this in baseball. It's been an ongoing thing that has really tapered down. But the disappointment, to your point, I don't think there's any way around that. It's going to really color Profar in a way that, in his statement, was fascinating. And I'd love your thoughts on this, about loving the fact that he could be a fan favorite player. Scott, I don't know if he's going to be a fan favorite player anytime soon, at least not in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's not the best start to Profar's time in the Braves. And, you know, in all of his media calls whenever the Braves signed him, I thought Profar just kind of naturally endeared himself to the fan base, has a million-dollar smile, talked about his son being a Braves fan and how much they wanted to get to Atlanta. But of course, not even a full week into his official time with the team, he gets popped for 80 games. And I think there was a lot of talk this week about just kind of the honor and integrity of baseball. And whenever you have a player, an established player like Profar, get popped for PEDs, I think everyone kind of has a bad feeling in their stomach about it. So we'll see. Well, I'm curious. I mean, you know, without knowing the dynamics of a clubhouse with a lot of rich and longtime baseball players, you won't want to pretend like you're going to know the dynamic inside the clubhouse when Profar comes back. You would hope that these guys are able to continue to coexist and welcome Profar back with open arms, because the Braves are going to need him. And the PED is an ugly start, but there will be about 2.5 years left on that contract when he's able to play again. And you just have to hope that he's able to be a productive player and give the Braves what they obviously liked in him so much to invest that kind of money and commitment to him over the next 3 years.
Yeah, that's certainly what the Braves are hoping for. Chatting with Scott Coleman here on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He joins me on the WadeFord.com hotline. Scott, of course, one of the hosts of the Hammer Territory podcast, which covers the Braves on a regular basis. Let me segue into something that's a bit of a wait and see right now, but of the good variety, Ronald Acuña Jr. We anticipate he'll be back in a month or so. His impact will be felt across the board, and until then, the outfield may not have that same power potential, of course. I think that the Braves are now depending more so, I believe, on Matt Olson, Austin Riley, and Ozzie Albies, that infield, to kind of return to its prior glory, if you will, of 2023, and honestly, just the normal or regular numbers that you can expect out of those guys over the course of a season. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the established veterans on this team are really going to be relied on to help carry the load until Ronald comes back. And we've seen probably mixed results for that trio. I think with Matt Olson, he had a big home run on Friday night. Matt has hit the ball hard really the entire season so far, just hasn't had a ton to show for it in terms of results, but I think that's something with time that'll balance out. Austin Riley, following the loss on Wednesday night, publicly was as disappointed, I think, that I can remember hearing Austin talk. Mm-hmm. Talking about that he needs to be better, that the team needs him to be better, and just a real frustration at the lack of results. He had a home run on opening day, and since then he had really struggled. I think it's only a matter of time until he gets going, but clearly the Braves need Austin Riley. And then Ozzie Albies has come along a little bit too. I think we know when Ozzie is right, he's really hitting for power. and is just kind of a dynamic force in the middle of the lineup. We will see how it all shakes out with lineups with Brian Snitker, especially while Ronald Acuna is down. But I agree completely that that trio, and then of course Marcelo Zuna, what he does out of the DH spot, those four players are really going to be leaned on here until they get Acuna back.
Yeah, and I want to get into Marcelo Zuna in just a moment, but just to kind of follow up on what I think most people believe upon, you know, viewing the Braves or really being a fan of baseball for a lengthy period of time anyway, is this offense can't be as bad as it was for the first week over the entire season. But when all the numbers you have are not great, then it's hard to see the potential in that moment, at least for some. But you know, the Braves seem to feel that they'll get this all sorted out. Talked to quite a few of them prior to the series against the Marlins getting started, and history dictates that they're going to be better at the plate. I think the question, Scott, that we're kind of wondering based on maybe the highs of 2023 and the lows of 2024 is, how much better can this group get?
It is a fascinating question, Grant. And I think when you look back at 2023, across the board, everybody had, if not a career best season, but something really close to it. And then, of course, last year, it seemed like outside of the injuries, even when players were healthy, other than Marcelo Zuna, everybody had a down year offensively. And you would feel like there's going to be some equilibrium here at some point. But I think especially when the Braves are coming off such a frustrating 2024 season, the fact that the offense struggled so much in that opening week, I think everybody kind of looked around and said, here we go again. The team really struggled hitting with runners in scoring position. And as we've seen, really not just the last couple years, but during this entire run, when the Braves are hitting home runs, they have no trouble scoring. But I think we want to get to a point where the Braves are not quite so reliant on the long ball and have those innings where they can string together three or four hits and put a crooked number up. Because some nights you're just not going to run into a homer, and it'd be nice to see the Braves put together good at-bats and put the ball in play a little bit more, not be so home run reliant in order to score more than a couple of runs to support your pitching staff.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And somebody who's been helping them score some runs over the course of the last couple of years is Marcelo Zuna. He's off to an incredible start, a quirky start, though, and once again, the feature bat, I think, in the middle of this order. And you know, a couple of years ago this time, it's crazy to think that we were wondering how much longer can the Braves possibly hold on to this guy. But since then, Scott, we've been asking a very different question, which is, where would the Braves be without Marcelo Zuna? And quite frankly, he's at it again this year.
Yeah, Marcel's turnaround, I mean, legitimately, Grant, you remember, his career was on the ropes. We were talking about, are the Braves going to move on? And right before Marcel started to turn things around in that series down in Miami, he had been benched for a couple of games. And it was like, is this the end? Even for a player who has a long track record of being good and was owed a lot of money on the contract. And since then, Marcel has been one of the truly best hitters in baseball. And it's a testament to Marcel that he's continued to work. And you talk about the impact he has on this lineup. The on-base was really good. And then on Friday night, we saw him start to hit for power, which we know is so much part of his game, had the home run. So really encouraging signs for a player who the Braves are really going to lean on in the middle of the order. And I think in a perfect world, you have Marcel batting third or fourth and driving in a million runs this summer. And especially once you get Acuna back at the top and hopefully get this lineup back to the levels that it was in 2023 when it was one of the very best in the game.
Yeah, and the Braves definitely need that offense to back up what has been a pitching staff that did the heavy lifting for them a year ago just to get them into the postseason, but has been, I would say, under construction in a lot of ways, beginning back in the winter and now running right on through the early portion of the year, because not only did Max Fried and Charlie Morton move on over the offseason, but now Reynaldo Lopez is down for a considerable amount of time. We just don't know how long yet, but there are some good things there, obviously. Chris Sale's the reigning Cy Young winner. I think he's looked pretty good his first couple of starts. I anticipate him continuing to be Chris Sale. And then you've got Spencer Schwellenbach, who was magnificent on Friday. And to me, Scott, it's not just about what Spencer Schwellenbach does, but it's how he does it that impresses me. This is about as well-rounded a young pitcher as I can remember seeing at any point, at any time that I've either covered the Braves or followed the Braves in terms of young pitcher. And we've seen some pretty great ones put on a Braves uniform, but it's the youth and the acumen that he's put together here that makes him stand out.
Yeah, Schwellenbach is incredible. And the way that he is incredible is so fascinating to watch, because you're talking about a player who barely had any kind of minor league career as a college draftee who needed Tommy John shortly after being drafted. And Schwellenbach comes up and he has full command of five pitches, There was a national writer on Friday night who made a claim that Schwellenbach might have the best command of any pitcher in the major leagues. That's crazy to talk about. And it's also not like Schwellenbach is up there throwing 90-mile-an-hour sinkers. He can pump 98 when he needs it. He has that wicked breaking ball. He has a changeup. I mean, it seems like no matter what the count is, whether it's 0-2 or 3-0, Schwellenbach has something that he can throw with confidence over the plate. And as a result, the Miami Marlins over 8 innings on Friday night did not barrel a single baseball. That's crazy. Yeah. And this kid, it feels like Schwellenbach's getting better with every start, and the sky is truly the limit. And if you can get to a point where you have a healthy and firing Sale, Schwellenbach, and Strider, the Braves are going to win a lot of games this summer.
And their rotation is going to be a big part of that. And Spencer Strider, worth noting as well, on Friday, he was dominant for Triple-A Gwinnett in his second rehab start and his return. But if anything could help this rotation get right, adding an arm like that to Sale and figuring things out on the back end would put Atlanta in a much better position despite the loss of Lopez, who will be out again for a time yet to be determined. Well, Scott, I appreciate you making the time for me here on a Sunday morning. Let everybody know about Hammer Territory, where we can find it, and how we can follow along with you and all the work you guys are doing as well.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, Grant. Terrific job covering the team. If folks want to tune in, we run a podcast called Hammer Territory. It's backed by the fine folks at Foul Territory, where a couple of former Braves actually host daily shows with A.J. Pierzynski and Cameron Maben and a couple others. So Hammer Territory, available both on YouTube if you want to watch, and also wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, etc. And yeah, Grant, let's hope end here and the Braves kind of get back on track to where we want them to be.
Well, with that, hour one of From the Diamond is in the books. When we come back, we will turn our attention to what else is happening across Major League Baseball as we take our trip around the big leagues. It comes your way next on From the Diamond with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.